The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
How many of you guys have been to a Wednesday night Bible study with us? Love our Wednesday night Bible study. If you haven't been, you're missing out. We're going to take a little bit of Wednesday night and bring it to Sunday morning. Is that all right? Okay, so here's what we do on Wednesday night. I usually am down here. Step number one, all right? Two, it's a little bit more interactive. So we talk a little bit more. You guys share some ideas and I talk and we get some feedback. And so we're going to do that this morning. Now, if this isn't your cup of tea and you don't like this, go drink some coffee. It's cool. But just for this morning, it feels like a morning to do that. So I have a question for you. We've been going through talking about these pivotal moments, and we went through a couple of weeks ago and went through pivotal moments and how we're at a pivotal moment because it's the start of a new year, a new thing. And we've been going through these pivotal moments and the five things that Scripture gives us that help us make the most out of these pivotal moments. So this morning, we're down to two, and the two are this: being obedient and doing what's right. So my first question for you right off the bat is this: are they the same? Is doing what's right being obedient? Is being obedient doing what's right?
No.
You say no. I got somebody else says no. Any other no's? Can I get an auctioneer up here? No, 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 yes, 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 no, no, yes. You say no, okay. Any yeses? Anybody think that it's the same? You think it's the same, okay. All right. Any other thoughts on it? It's the same, okay. Yes and no. What do you mean, yes and no? Depends on the situation. Okay. All right. Do what? Depends on your definition of right. Okay. All right. Great. Glad you guys are starting to think with me this morning. All right. I'm going to propose that they're different. And here's why. Now, this isn't real scientific, so don't go and like say that your preacher gave you some science this morning. But we looked at, over the past couple of weeks, we looked over three scriptures. And in these three scriptures, three different times, God tells his people to be obedient and to do what's right. Now, if God wanted to say that they're the same thing, then wouldn't they be just, hey, do what's right and be obedient? Or be obedient, and that's all you'd have to say. He wouldn't have to differentiate between the two, but he does because I think he wants us to understand that they are somewhat different. In Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, he tells his people, what? Okay, it's a youth thing. Gotcha. Man, I miss those days. All right, Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, he says this: walk in obedience to him and keep his commands. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, obey him and do not rebel against his commands. 1 Chronicles 12, 29, or 29, 19, he says, keep his commands, his statutes, his decrees, and do everything to build the partial structure, the palatal structure for which I have provided. See, in all these different verses, God tells his people, hey, there's this idea of keeping my commands, doing what's right, but then there's this other idea of being obedient. So, if that's the case, if that's where we're going to go this morning, is that there is a difference. There are two different types of things, that being obedient is one thing and keeping God's command is another. Can you maybe help me figure out what the difference is? Okay, what's the difference? Okay, all right, great. How many of you guys have ever done this? You know the speed limit. Okay. Now, how many of you have knowingly known the speed limit but broken it? Okay. All right. Now, I know what's right, right? Do I obey? No. All right. In our country right now, are there things that are legal that we don't agree with? All right, so do you see how there is a difference? Because doing what's right is this kind of moral standard, right? It's our standard of living. Everyone has a moral standard, a thing that drives you that says this is right, this is wrong. But then there's this idea of obedience, where obedience is being submissive to something, right? I know the law, but if I don't obey the law, I'm not really obeying, right? I'm choosing to submit myself to the authority of the state of Louisiana or the police officer who pulls me over, or whoever it is like that. Haven't gotten pulled over in a while. But just this morning, let's look at these two as that keeping God's commands are living up to God's standard. Obeying is being submissive to his leadership. Does that sound fair? All right. With that being said, we're going to kind of get through the notes a little bit this morning. I just wanted to have a little bit of fun and talk with you guys a little bit. So, doing what's right means keeping God's commands. In your notes there, you have Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. This is when God gives his nation, the nation of Israel, the Ten Commandments. What is it, though? Why did God, y'all ever wonder that? Why did God give the Ten Commandments? Why did God give the law? What? To set them apart. He said, listen, everyone else has a standard. Your standard is going to not be everyone else's standard. Your standard is going to be my standard. The standard I'm going to call you to live as my nation, as my people, is going to be different from everybody else's. Now, back at some point in time, that wasn't that difficult, right? If you didn't sacrifice your babies to a god, then like you were living above the standard, because that's what normal like worship meant. And so when God sets this standard, it's not real hard, is it? What, name a Ten Commandment, somebody. Don't kill. Hard? In my head, that's different. But it's not hard to not kill somebody. Most of us have made it all of our lives without killing someone. That's pretty good. Another one. Don't bear false witness. What's that mean? Don't lie, right? Honor thy father and mother. You're getting into a little bit harder ones, but still, I mean, is it hard to tell the truth? And we don't always want to, but it's not like it's this super difficult thing. What's another one? Don't steal. Right? Again, not that difficult. It's kind of almost as if when you look at the Ten Commandments, it's the baseline. It's something that everyone can live under that. Hey, you know what? I can agree with that. This guy's wife at the end of the day, that should still be that guy's wife. I shouldn't take her from him. I shouldn't take something that doesn't belong to me. I shouldn't just go around saying whatever I want to say. I should tell the truth. Across humanity, there's this kind of baseline that whether or not people realize it or not, they all fall under that same level of standard of morality, right? One of my favorite things to do is if you ever meet somebody who says they don't believe in God, ask them if it's okay to do something that you know morally they would disagree with. They say, there is no God, I don't believe in that. Say, okay, well then, what do you think about stealing? What do you think their answer is going to be? It's wrong. Now, if stealing is wrong, then that means that there is a judge, someone who sets that standard of morality. And it ruins their argument that there is no God. Great conversation to get them going. That's a whole different sermon for another time. But for today, the whole reason God gave his commandment was to say, hey, listen, you, my people, are going to be set apart. You're going to live at a different standard from everybody else. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus goes on and he talks about how a city on a hill can't be hidden, and he wants you and I to be the light of the world, right? Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What's Jesus saying? Act out. Be a good example. Your life, the standard that I've called you to live at, is different from everyone else, and you should display that so other people see your life being different and take notice of who? God. interesting, right after this, what Jesus does is he takes all the Ten Commandments and he amplifies them. He says, listen, you've heard don't commit murder. I tell you, don't get angry with somebody in your head. You've heard it said don't commit adultery. I tell you, it's not just enough to not commit adultery. Don't even lust after somebody. And right after this in Matthew chapter 5 is where Jesus takes all the Ten Commandments and he amplifies them and he says, hey, listen, the standard is no longer this. This is the basis for morality, but as my followers, as my disciples, as people who come after me, this is now your standard. And he elevates it. But then over in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 19. No, it's 22. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus has this conversation with a Sadducee. And the Sadducee comes to him. And all chapter long, they've been trying to trip Jesus up and get him to say something wrong. And the Sadducee has this conversation with him. He says, what's the greatest commandment? You guys know the story. Jesus answers and says, what? What is the greatest commandment? Love God. Love others. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But it's interesting, again, that everything that Jesus does is this standard of loving people. And it's the command to love. Over in John, he says, this is the new command I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. And so the command of Jesus is to love. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you look at the basis for morality. Five of them are how you love God. Five of them are how you love other people. And it's as if God is saying, hey, listen, the basis for you, my command to you is to love. In Romans, I think it's chapter 8. It's in your notes there, but he says this. Sorry, chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt of loving one another. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. The commands, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there is may be summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So the idea is this. God sets a new moral code through his son Jesus. He sets a new standard for those who follow Christ and says, this is now your standard of living. So, Mr. Michael was just talking about during Children's Corner how when things don't go the way we planned, we have a God who teaches us and instructs us on where to go. Where do you and I go to find instructions? The Bible. So glad you guys answered that way. Because if you didn't, I had no clue what I was going to say. Yeah, the Bible. We go to the Bible because the Bible spells out some pretty good stuff about how you and I should live. It tells us our standard, right? Now, are there any problems that you and I can see if all we do is say, hey, listen, I'm going to follow the Bible strictly with my life, nothing but the Bible, that gives me everything I need? None of y'all are brave enough to say it, are you? What do you mean interpretation? Oh, that's a problem. So what happens on things that it's not really like black and white? Like, again, we can all agree, don't murder, right? Why? Because the Bible says so. What about those other issues? No tattoos. No smoking. No drinking. No rock and roll music. Now, there are scriptures that talk about it, but it depends on how you read that scripture, right? So then how do you and I follow God? How do you and I keep God's will? How do you and I now obey? Obeying is being under the leadership of God. That's what it means to obey. Obeying means I'm following Christ. I'm submitting to his leadership. So now how do you and I submit to God's leadership? Again, we talked a couple weeks ago. Jesus never used one of these. Make sure I don't have any text messages. Okay. Jesus never got road rage. Jesus never had to worry about his donkey going too fast and breaking the speed limit. So how do you and I deal with those things? All right, let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, a great story. This is when he calls the disciples. He gets in the boat with Peter. And he says, hey, Peter, listen, I know you've been fishing all night. You haven't caught anything, but go out to deep water, put your nets on the other side of the boat, and you'll catch fish. And I love Peter's response. Master, we've worked hard all night, and haven't caught anything. But because you ask us, I'll let down my nets. What is that? That's simple, blind obedience. That's saying, hey, listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know, understand anything about you other than you're some kind of religious guy. Right before this in Luke's gospel, it's interesting that people marvel at how Jesus taught with authority. All Peter knew at this moment was this guy was a teacher from God who taught different from everybody else. There was something in the words of Jesus that ignited something in Peter that said, hey, listen, I don't get exactly who you are, but because you've asked me to, I'm going to be obedient to it. Now, how do you and I stay in that same kind of obedience with our life? On those things that maybe there aren't written rules about. What do we have to help us besides God's word? We have God's word, great for the things that are black and white, but what about the things that are kind of hard to find out? What do you and I have? Google? Okay. Fellowship? All right. The Holy Spirit. So glad you guys pointed that out. I know you guys have tons of free time. Hopefully we don't get snowed in again. No, sniced in again this week, right? Was that the word we came up with earlier? Sniced in? Okay. If you get a chance, read Galatians 5 and 6. Now, I've got some of it there in your notes for you. But Galatians 5 and 6 are so interesting to me. Because all Galatians 5 and 6 talk about is this idea of living you and I's life through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in there, love, or for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he already poses this problem that there's something beyond just the law that has to govern, that has to guide our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on in verse 19, he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all those things of the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he says, listen, the Bible is real clear. This stuff's wrong. Okay? Not me, God's word. You don't like it, you can take that up to him with him when you get to heaven. But what intrigued me so much about this is the very next passage. Because most of us can look at this, we can agree those things are wrong. But then he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. There is no law, but is there a law? Is there a law that tells you how to live in love? Let me ask this. How many of you, anybody heard of the love languages? Okay, let me give you a for instance. Her love language, how Kelsey gives and receives love, is very, very different from how I do. What's yours? Oh, you are blowing it right now. Gosh. Hers is quality time. She likes me spending time with her. Mine is acts of service. When she does something for me, that's when I know she loves me. Now, there's five different things. Guy wrote a book about it, makes lots of money from it. But the idea is this. We give and receive love differently, don't we? How many of you married somebody or know somebody who's just a super affectionate person? They like giving kisses, hugs all the time. And you are not that way. You ever notice how those people always find each other? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean it means that your definition of love is different than my definition of love, right? There's no law on how we should love people. Y'all ever do something for somebody and it took everything you had. I mean, like, you did something so nice for this person. You went out of your way. Like, you cooked them the homemade chicken Alfredo dinner on Valentine's Day. You served it with a candle lit dinner and it was just gorgeous and perfect. And they didn't receive that as love. They received that as a message of, hey, we need to take a break and break up for a couple weeks or months or years. I don't know anybody who does that. But man, you do something so nice and you do it because you genuinely love the other person. And they just are like, oh, cool, thanks. You miss the fact that I was doing this because I love you. You ever act out of love for somebody and they miss it completely? Yeah. And what happens, yeah, your children, great example, right? You do so much for these little runts and they never say thank you. They never show any kind of appreciation. They never do anything at all. Why? Because they don't necessarily see it because there's no specific love law. This is how you should love. There's no law that says this is how you have joy in life. There's not a strict code that says this is how you experience peace in life. Your peace looks different from my peace, and my peace looks different from your peace. And all these different things, there is no set structure or law for them. Why? Because all these things have to come from the Holy Spirit. So he just finishes saying, hey, listen, these are things that are absolutely wrong. And then there are these things. These things have come from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches each and every single individual person how to experience and do these things differently. Don't believe me? Keep reading what he says. He says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have been crucified to the flesh, the passions and the desires. Since we live by the Spirit, this is key. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, what's that mean? If the Spirit moves, what do? If the Spirit walks, what do? You walk. He goes on in the next verse and he says this. Or I think actually it jumps over to chapter 6 next. You guys have it in your notes. I have it in my notes. I just got to get back up here. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man reaps, he will also sow. In other words, he says this, listen, everybody's thing is different. So I can't judge your actions and say, hey, listen, you know what? That's not loving because that's not the way I would do it. You're not experiencing peace because you're not doing peace the way I would do peace. Your life isn't joyful because you're not expressing joy the way that I would express joy. You ever meet that person who never smiles? It's just, it's not in their DNA. And you're like, how in the world do you like, how do you express that you're happy about something? Or you ask them like, are you happy? Like, yeah, I'm happy. I don't look happy to you. This is my happy face. I hate to see your mad face. But there's no law that says it. And what that scripture says is, listen, I can't look at other people and I can't judge their actions based on me. I've got to look for what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And I have to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Guess what? There is no definition of how you should love your neighbor. No clear cut thing that says this is loving your neighbor. And if you're not doing this, you're not doing it right. There's a Holy Spirit that works in each and every one of our lives that encourages you and tells you, do this. And what you and I have to do is we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, before you walk out of here and all you hear is Pastor John say, listen to the Holy Spirit and just follow the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit leads, go with it. And follow your heart. Don't do that. Because this is key. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you something contrary to God's commands and God's words. There are so many people who I've lived long enough to know this. Anybody ever heard this? God told me to do that. God told you to sin? I'm sorry, what? God will never tell you to sin. The Holy Spirit will never do anything in your life that is contradictory to what God's word says. In Numbers chapter 23, it says, God is not human. He should not lie. Not a human being, not that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The idea is that God never changes his mind. Over in Hebrews, it says this. I think it's Hebrews chapter 6. God did this so that by the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we would have fled to take hold of the hope that is before us. may be greatly encouraged. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The idea is this, is that God's word isn't going to tell you to do one thing, and then the Holy Spirit's going to tell you to do something different. They work together to help you and I live lives that are not just keeping his commands, doing what's right, but they're also obedient to his leadership. Now, you may be sitting here saying, cool, that sounds great, but how do I do that? How do I keep his commands and stay obedient to him? Well, and Paul gave you one way in Galatians chapter 6. He told you to do this. He told you to share with one another when we are instructed on something. I'm not supposed to tell you how to love. I'm not supposed to tell you how to experience joy. I'm not supposed to tell you how to have peace or how to live faithful or goodness or any of those things. But when God shows me something, guess what I get to do? And you said it earlier. Do you even remember the word you said earlier? Fellowship. We get to come together. We get to go to church together. We get to say, listen, man, God taught me something this week. You'll never believe what it was. And as we share our story of what God's doing in our life, it may be the light bulb that clicks in somebody else's head and they say, hey, that's how I can do that. That's how I can be loving. That's how I can be merciful. That's how I can have patience with my kids that aren't thankful. That's how I can do those things, and I can show them those different things, is I can do what somebody else did. And so we learn from each other. The second way we do it, you have to come back next week for it. It's how you stay close to him. Interesting, when we looked at the five things that are pivotal times, what we do in five different things to do in pivotal times, being obedient, keeping his commands were one, and then the last one was staying close to him. When we come back next week, we're going to find out about as you stay close to God, and as you stay close to God, how it becomes so much easier to read God's word and say, this is what I need to do. It becomes so much easier to know the leading of the Holy Spirit because you are close to God and you can follow him so closely that when his Spirit prompts you to do something, you're able to say yes and be obedient to it because you're close enough to him to experience that peace, that comfort that comes from him. I don't want to give away next week's sermon, so I'm going to tell you guys to come back next week. But this morning, man, listen, I'm so grateful you're here. I can't tell you enough how excited I am by what God's doing in our life at this pivotal moment in our church. Church, if I can encourage you with one thing, it's this morning. Keep God's commands. There's a standard that God has called you to live by. You live to that standard. You don't live to the standard that the world tells you. Students, you guys just got back from one weekend. Awesome time. Everybody's excited. Everybody's tired. I get it. There's going to be a standard that the world tells you to live by. There's going to be a standard that they tell you, hey, this is okay, regardless of what your church says, regardless of what your mom says, regardless of what your dad says, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, whoever it is, but they're wrong. This is all you have to do, is live by our standard. You remember when they tell you that God has given you a completely different standard that you're to live by. Some politician somewhere up in Washington, D.C., church, is going to tell you, hey, this is a standard you live by. When that happens, you say, no, the standard I live by is God's standard. The second thing is this, be obedient to God. God is doing something in our church that's remarkable. I'm telling you, I cannot wait for it to come full circle. What we need is we need a couple key pieces of people saying, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. And being obedient to what he's calling you to do. And I think that when that happens, man, Mooring Sport is going to be a different town. Caddo Parish, a different place. I came here because I think God wants to change the world from here. And if God wants to be a part, if God wants to change the world, I want to be a part of it. I'll go wherever he wants me to. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these individuals who are here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us as followers of you, God, not to look to the world, not to look for other people for our standard. God, not to let other people tell us what you say is right and wrong. But Father, to look closely at your word, to know your word well enough to know what your word commands us to do. But Father, on top of that, to trust, to obey. Lord, to listen to your Spirit. God, I pray that as we leave this place today, Father, that you would make us obedient Christians who live to your standard and follow what you command us to do. God, that it would be so instrumental and pivotal that it would change the course of history for the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.